Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour. Here we are back again on another Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. I'm Frankenberry. And ladies, are you still sane?
I'm not good.
I know Jonna's been kind of losing it as she does her daily Facebook post count up of the number of days she's been stuck inside.
Starting to fight with everyone on Facebook.
I am. Like a little pit bull. Like a little angry pit bull.
I know. Somebody said, "Oh, you poked the bear."
You know, seriously, I guess. Well, all right. So let's do a quick check-in. I mean, but seriously, because today has got to be day 49. I'm pretty sure. Wait a minute. Yes, I think today would be day 49, which is a long freaking time. So is everybody healthy? Because we don't get to see each other. I don't get to see you guys.
Yeah, no,
I'm good.
We're good. I mean, I'm in, what's this, week, I guess week six for me coming into work here for the half days.
Yeah. Do you miss us, Frankenberry? Just say yes to that.
Well, of course I miss you guys. I mean, it's obviously not the same over the phone, though I will say you wouldn't be able to see me now and comment on the fact that I've been wearing the same sweatpants for 6 weeks. So
how's your hair?
I've already done the shave thing once, so it's starting to grow back in a little bit. So all the clumps that I couldn't see in the back of my head that nobody else can see either, because I don't see any people. I think I've actually cleaned them up a little bit. But I literally have been wearing the exact same pair of sweatpants 5 days a week, washing them on Saturday, and then wearing them again for the next 5 days for 6 weeks now.
So your sweatpants are basically walking on their own.
Pretty much. And I just personally find that funny.
We're glad you do.
Yeah, just me.
I did have one little, I got excited about one thing in this previous week. One thing that I was not expecting. So you know how every day sort of runs into each other. Although I will say the Jonna Spilbor Law is open and we are in the office. However, I am the only one who's dressing for success because everybody else is wearing yoga pants and jeans, but I ain't saying nothing. It's okay. I'm going to let it, they can shoot it now. But last week, I did a Skype hit on Court TV, which is great because I've been missing Fox, I've been missing my TV hits. I liked it. It was really fun. I'm missing the people there. So I did Court TV. And when I was checking in on my Skype, the producer said, "Wow, I really like what you've done with your hair. That's just like, what are you doing different?" And I said to him, "I haven't been to a salon in 6 freaking weeks. That's what's different about my hair." But apparently, that's a good look on me, which is not at all what I would have thought. Then I had to make fun of myself because if you're watching any of the news programs, since everybody is appearing on Skype, you'll notice that all these doctors and all these scientists and all these talking heads, they're all in their houses and behind them, they stage, you know, they're in their library or they've got, you know, a million of their diplomas behind them and the 18 books they've written. And I get on Skype for the first time in 6 weeks of Court TV, and behind me is my wine wall.
Like, wow. I saw that.
I got my wine wall. I got my stand-up cardboard cutout of Bradley Cooper. Got all these tchotchkes. I'm like, I should have planned this a little better, but oh well.
Well, you know what? You gave people an insight into the life of Jonna Spilbor. It's kind of like when I listen to the sports talk shows the next day after the NFL draft, and they basically went to the houses of head coaches. Mm. So the big thing the next day was rating which head coach had the coolest house and which head coach's house you didn't want to visit.
Oh,
you know, so
it was
kind of funny. But I'm trying to think who. Well, they did say that Adam Gase for the Jets, he didn't get high marks the new coach for the Arizona Cardinals, he got huge marks, and Bill Belichick got high marks for having his dog with him.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure that people were able to get a little view of Jonna in her house, in her digs, and I'm sure you would have gotten high marks from at least a couple of folks.
Well, yeah, although, you know, when you're not in the actual house, seeing just little snippets like that, you'd probably think I'm a drunk hoarder, but otherwise, when you get a full view, it's a little bit better. I need a better place to do my Skype, but I'm just itching to get back.
You know what I think you should do for the next one, Jonna? Instead of having a wall of wine and some of those other things in the cardboard cutout, what I think you should do is have a wall of nothing but like distilled water, canned food, gas masks, and weapons. And not mention it. Never bring it up. and just let people see, oh my God, she's a prepper. And she's crazy.
I wish I was better with technology.
Start putting stuff behind you and not mentioning it.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah. That would just, you know, years and years ago when I was at West Virginia University, there was a stand-up comedy contest, and I did my bit. So my bit, and I had like 5 minutes worth of material, but what I did with my bit is I walked up on stage with a stepladder and a guitar. I did my 5 minutes, and then I left the stage with my stepladder and the guitar. I never mentioned either one. I didn't play the guitar. I didn't mention why I had a stepladder.
Oh. That is hilarious.
So I think, yes, you should do something like that. Set up something behind yourself that you don't talk about and let people instead make up their own minds as to what the hell it means.
That is fantastic.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Like Bradley Cooper. We haven't seen him in a while.
I know, I've got to put him in. I got to get him in somehow. Because that's something, my little Bradley Cooper cardboard cutout, the little, you know, it's like 2 feet tall. That's something that people wouldn't notice right away, but then once they noticed it, they'd be like, is that a Bradley Cooper cardboard cutout? I love it. I love it. Carol, what have you been up to? You know, you have the perfect, you're still working away at your publishing business, and what a great time. I mean, lockdown is a perfect opportunity for you to just be publishing away.
It's working out so well for me, I don't even really want to talk about it because I don't want people to get angry with me.
you're not. I think it's great.
Grateful. I am very, very grateful that I work from home and I'm publishing. I'm working on two books right now. And for people just tuning in, I'm an author, yes, and now I'm a publisher under Little Pink Press for books by or for women. And I'm working on two books right now. And I feel like the luckiest person in the world to get paid to do something that just I love doing and just brings me joy, and helping women bring the books out. It's awesome. And I get to sit with my dog all day. I mean,
can't go wrong with that.
Which is great.
No. Oh.
That's the other thing I've noticed. Like, Facebook, I am seeing a lot of funny, funny memes. A lot of them related to the current unfunny situation on Facebook that I'm sharing. But and a lot of them have to do with tequila. And I'm just kidding. An absolute kick out of them, and I'm, you know, I'm spreading the love. So now all my friends and family are like, "Can you stop sending me these memes?" But they make me laugh. You need a little levity in situations like these, of course.
Yes, that you do. That you do. And if they involve tequila, why the hell not?
Yeah. No. Exactly. People are, and then I posted, and I never ever like. I don't ever share these things, but the other day there was this video of these four little tiny dogs dressed up as like mariachi sweaters. Just saying it out loud. And it cracked me up. I watched it like 18 times. I just couldn't stop.
Oh, it was hilarious.
But I guess what's the alternative, right? The alternative is, you know, crying in the corner, rocking back and forth. I ain't gonna do that.
My boss, who's a real audiophile, found a meme the other day, and he sent me the picture last night. And basically it says, my wife said we needed a new mixer for the kitchen. And then it says, I don't know why she's so mad at me now. And there's a picture on the counter of a mixing board. And I don't know, for some reason, maybe I was just a little tired, but that one got me a laugh out loud.
Because you weren't expecting
it. But that's a little inside humor because you're a radio guy.
Yes, yes. And I know that my boss is an audiophile, so that that particular meme was right up his alley.
My Donna. Most recent favorite one is a little chihuahua wearing a bandana sitting at a table in front of a margarita, and it says quarantine day 40. Today I woke up, had a smoothie, and did an at-home workout. Translation, started drinking margaritas at 10 a.m. and fell down the stairs.
What are you doing for food, Jonna?
So I have always liked to order food delivery. So in terms of, like, groceries, of course, I'm getting those all delivered. I haven't stepped foot inside a grocery store, not because I'm afraid, just because I never did it before the lockdown. Why would I start now? And
exactly.
Second, you know, my mother and father and I are, like, we don't hug each other, but I have gone over there to help her, and she cooks, and then I bring home leftovers, and that sustains me for a few days. And I am proud to say, I am going to say this loud and proud, a lot of people are complaining that they're gaining weight on this lockdown, but knock on wood, not me, not this kid.
Wow.
So, but I got to tell you, I've been working to not gain weight because it would be very easy to do.
Yep.
And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Johnny, because I've actually lost a couple of pounds on my beer belly, or on what looks like a beer belly.
Ooh.
Because and I thought about it the other day, I'm only eating twice a day now instead of three times, because I don't go into work at 8:30 in the morning anymore. I get in around 11. So I immediately eat my lunch and then I go home and eat dinner.
Oh, so you don't eat at home?
No, I do. I mean, in the morning. No, I do not. I just, I get up, boom, dressed, and that's it. I'm out the door. So, but yeah, I've noticed that I've lost a couple of pounds as well.
See? Very interesting. And Curly can't lose any weight because then we wouldn't be able to see her. So that would be good.
Yeah, she turned sideways and disappeared.
Oh, God.
But before we move on and talk about who we have today, you just reminded me of something, Frankenberg, because you happen to live on the grounds of the Hudson Valley Rescue and Sanctuary, Animal Sanctuary.
Well, not quite on the grounds, but up the hill from them. Yes, I live in the house of the woman who owns and runs the place.
The proper name is Hudson Valley Animal Rescue and Sanctuary, right?
Correct.
And owned by Celia Wilsey, who's a friend of ours, and she's been on our show, too. And I just wanted to ask, how are things going? Because I know a lot of people have gotten pets and have adopted new pets, and the pets need us as much as we need them, and how are things going there on the hacienda?
The last time I talked to her about actual numbers, she's actually adopted out quite a number of dogs, which is obviously fantastic. I hate to say it, but even she said to me once a couple of weeks ago, she goes, you know, I think one of our lab techs might have tested positive. I'm like, well, I'll keep my distance. So I actually have been, which sucks because I miss, you know, hanging out with the animals and helping feed and stuff like that. But I've generally been just going straight upstairs. So other than the last time that I checked where they were, she said she did have one day where they adopted out six dogs in one day.
Wow.
which is huge.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I know she's been doing okay down there.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
All right.
And Carol, you're doing a great... Oh, sorry, Carol. I just wanted to give you one quick kudos. You're doing a great job sharing a lot of that kind of information on Facebook, and I love you for that. You know, lost dogs, adopted dogs, and you're really, really good about spreading that info.
Well, I mean, I think we all have our thing that is near and dear to our hearts, and animals is one of those for me. So, yeah, I'm happy to do it.
And me.
So, speaking of happy, I think we could all use a little bit of a little less worry, a little less anxiety, and maybe a little more happy here and there, which was one of the reasons we have a special treat later in the show. But we have a great guest coming on here, and her name is Carol Kershaw, and she is the co-author of The Worry-Free Mind: Train Your Brain, Calm the Stress Spin Cycle, and Discover a Happier, More Productive You. She's been on the show before. She's fantastic. She is going to talk to us about what's going on in our brain when we are worrying, and give us some surprisingly easy ways to worry less. And I think that's something we can all use right now.
Oh, without a doubt. All right, yes. So that is on the way next. Thank you for that, and that's Carol Kershaw. She is coming up, and we will talk to her about a worry-free mind, and that is segment number two, right here on Happy Hour. Johnny Spielborn and Carol Pesci and myself, stick with us. We're coming right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour, Jonna Spielborn and Carol Pesci and myself, segment number two this morning. And it's time now to get to our guests, and hopefully a guest that will give us some ideas to maybe get out of a little bit of, the doldrums that we just may be in right now.
Well, Frank and Mary, so you guys know I'm kind of a weirdo. I read all the time. I guess Jonna's a fellow weirdo that way, too. So I read a lot of books. I think there's so much to understand about ourselves and life. And so I read a lot of self-help books. And one of my very favorite books ever is The Worry-Free Mind, Train Your Brain, Calm the Stress Spin Cycle, and Discover a Happier, More Productive You by Carol Kershaw and Bill Wade. So Carol's been on our show before. I know at least once. I think actually she's been with us twice before. And she has some, I'm going to actually read a quick little bio here for you. She is a clinical psychologist and international trainer in clinical hypnosis and brain-based psychological transformation. She is board certified in neurofeedback and holds the status of fellow. Dr. Kershaw is the author of The Couple's Hypnotic Dance and co-author of Brain Change Therapy, Clinical Interventions for Self-Transformation, as well as many professional articles. Dr. Kershaw, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Glad I could be on.
So let's get right into it. What your book is really designed to maximize our brain and understand worry and anxiety and ways we can shift that. So people are dealing right now, I'm going to say, with an unprecedented amount of worry and anxiety. So big picture, what would you begin to say to somebody who is dealing with a lot of worry right now?
Well, first of all, of course, this is global, isn't it? And it's very tough. Everybody is kind of in the same boat. Some people are having a harder time than others. So I think the first thing is you want to notice, what is your Stephen King horror movie of the mind? Okay, well, so I'll just share mine. You know, this when we all went into lockdown, my first thought was, do you remember the Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments? There's an angel of death that was in a green fog that came into the village, and, you know, it's going to take people out. And I thought, Carol, really? Stop that. And so I'm trying to take my mind out of that. And it's really important, I think, during this period of time that we start to be easier on ourselves. So you're going to have your normal Stephen King movie of the mind, because we regress to a place where we can get panicked and scared, and some of our old programming can come back up, and you can go, oh, hello, my friend, I've been here before. But that's okay, because you don't have to sit in it. And so we want to interrupt the movie. And that's your first thing to do. And the question is, then, how can we rise above all of the anxiety that we are experiencing? We hear it, you know, 24/7. So next thing to do is don't listen to CNN quite so much, or whatever your news program is, and try to stay connected as possible to friends and family. And, you know, one of the things my husband and I are doing is that we try to walk every day. We try to get out in nature. It's amazing when you kind of slow yourself down and start to notice some of the creatures around you. And some of them actually walk around in kind of a meditative state. We saw a couple of cranes the other day at a pond we like to walk around. And they were walking so slowly, I went, wow, this is very cool. It's making me relax. But, you know, everybody's having difficulty. I mean, we had about 7 of our workshops canceled. We were about to go to Australia and teach in 4 different cities. And, of course, Australia, it was making people be in quarantine for 2 weeks. So because we try to train our mind to move into calmer state, and that does take some practice, by the way, particularly when you're in a situation like this. We said to each other and ourselves, okay, well, this is not going to happen. What else could we do? And so we didn't think about the solution so directly. We went and calmed our minds down. We distracted ourselves, and it popped into our minds that, oh, what we'll do is we'll record the workshop and then send it digitally. And that's exactly what we did.
I just want to point something out that you said there that I think is really significant about one of the major aha moments of your book, The Worry-Free Mind.
Sure.
When I am upset about something or worried about something, I'm stuck on it. Like, I'm ruminating. It's consuming
yes.
me. It's just going on and on and on, over and over and over. And
right.
I know that it is beneficial to me to reach for a better thought. When I'm really worried about something or if I'm really upset about something, that's not always easy to do. What
right.
you teach people to do in the worry-free mind is to actually do something that shifts your brain waves to a different frequency, which then allows what you just said. Like, then that thought popped in easily. That better, you calmed yourself first. And
right.
then the thought popped in. So it's kind of, I look at it like it's a backdoor way of shifting your thinking and shifting your energy and reducing your worry is by doing a very specific, and sometimes you have some very simple things that will reduce
yeah.
the worry and allow you to think more clearly and better. So it was, did you have more on that thought, or can we get into some of those easy and simple ways?
Yeah, sure. And first of all, in order to worry and ruminate, you have to be internally focused. So if you do something very simple, this sounds really silly, but if you take your focus of attention and look out your window and look at your neighbor's house or look at the trees, if you have trees out your window, notice what you see. You cannot worry and look at something else outside yourself. I mean, it sounds simple, and then, you know, what most people do is they'll go, oh, well, that's too simple, it's not going to last. Well, it will if you practice it a bit. Now, a second thing you can do is focus on nothing. Now, that sounds silly. You focus on space. What does that mean? It means imagine that you've got space in your body, like between your ears. So if you focus on the imaginary space in your head, between your ears, try to have a worry thought when you're doing that.
Wow.
Or the third thing, and this is really cool to do, and you know, we train therapists all over the world, and they all go, this can't be that easy, is to think about something a little anxiety-provoking. Normally people think about this virus. Look straight up at the ceiling and notice what happens to the ceiling. Now, you can keep an image in your mind, but you can't keep the feeling going, you see.
So the big problem with worry is we have this movie going on inside our head, like a movie.
Exactly.
And so these are ways to change what's playing on that movie inside our head.
That's right, yeah. You can't keep a movie going if you shift your focus of attention in a particular way. You just can't. It's impossible.
Dr. Kershaw, this is Jonna. I wanted to ask you a question that might, I don't think it's off topic, but I wanted to know, I guess this is the part of the program we call, am I normal? Because a lot of us, you know, is it possible that worry can manifest the same way as the stages of grief? And what I mean by that is, like, let's take this pandemic, okay? And I'll tell you what I went through, maybe because I don't think I'm alone. You know, at first it was, we have to lock down. Oh, my gosh, I don't believe it. Then it was, all right, yeah. Well, I guess we'll lean into it and do what we got to do. Then it was like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. And now I personally have moved into, let me out. And if you don't let me out, I'm going to bust out. Like, so is this a curve that people are going through, and is it okay to be going through it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, along with the rumination is grief. We are grieving over everything is definitely
yep.
different. We didn't have a time to adjust, any time to adjust. It just happened, right? Some people, I guess, knew that it was coming, but most people didn't really realize this. And so everything is suddenly different. We can't do the same things we've done. So we're all dealing with loss here. And
That is so true. We're trying to
figure out what are we going to do? How's our life going to be? But we can't figure it out right now. And so if you can make that okay and make whatever feeling you have okay, let yourself have it. You won't sit in it. You'll just feel it and then you'll move on.
Oh my God, I love that advice. I have learned that the hard way, Dr. Kershaw, that when we think we're supposed to be positive all the time, that's not reality. Can you lean towards the positive? Can you move yourself there? Absolutely. But when you fight against those negative feelings and judge yourself negatively for having them, you amplify them and you prolong them. So if you just allow your space for that and then move on from that.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Could I just add, in the meantime, please be sure you're not drinking Clorox.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whatever cleansing properties it may have for your countertop, it's probably not the same for your innards.
Yeah, good advice.
Dr. Kershaw, I'm just glad that you added the word Clorox, because for a second I thought you were going to say, just make sure you're not drinking, period. And I was going to have to hang up.
Yeah, I would have had issues with that as well, by the way.
No, I think it's perfectly all right. You know, it helps, doesn't it, to have a little ritual in the evening, as long as that's not too much. That's all right.
Frank and Mary, we have another minute or two here.
Oh, yeah, we can go another couple of minutes, sure.
Okay, so another technique, Dr. Kershaw, that has stuck in my mind since the first time I read your book, and I have shared this with people many times, is one of the ways when you're caught in worry and you're stuck in worry and you want to get out of it is to shift your brain waves to another frequency. And one of the ways to do that is a left-right movement. I'll never forget that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so for a $25 concept, it's called bilateral stimulation. So you can do drumming left-right on your legs. So you hit your lightly your left hand on your left leg and your right hand on your right leg and just go back and forth. Or you can toss a ball across your midline from left to right. First of all, you probably want to give yourself a number 1 to 10 on stress. 10 would be the worst part of stress. 1 would be relaxation. And ball across your midline 6 to 8 times. Pause. Ask yourself what number you are now. Usually it comes down. Be sure you're breathing. Sometimes people hold their breath. And be sure you're breathing and keep going. See if you can get all the way down to a 1. And usually people can do that.
And this is one of the reasons why going for a walk is so calming as well, right? It's left, right movement. It shifts your brain frequency.
Yep, that's a bilateral stimulation. What you're doing is you're equalizing blood flow in the hemispheres of the brain, and that's why we feel better.
This fascinates me. And something else you just pointed out was another key aha moment for me in your book, The Worry-Free Mind, is that when we're feeling stressed and really worried, a lot of anxiety, all we want is escape. We want relief, right? And it seems so far away to feel calm that you think it's not possible. And you suggest to people what you just said on a scale of 1 to 10. If 1 is calm and 10 is I'm freaking out, just worry about getting down to 9. Can you do that? Can you take it down to 9? Then when you get to 9, go for 8. When you get to 8, go for 7. Like baby steps are very powerful.
That's right, And so people learn that they really have more abilities than they think they do. And it's not that hard if you just do some little things differently. It's about where you focus your attention, actually.
And what we learned from your book is that it can be easy. Don't try to take on a big mammoth. I need to completely change the way my brain thinks all the time. No, you shift your focus. shift your focus. And when you do that more and more, it becomes more of a go-to. It becomes more natural. It's like when you first learn to drive a car, right? You had to really think about moving your foot from the gas pedal to the brake and where are you in the lane. And it gets that way with learning the practice of shifting your focus.
That's exactly right. And it helps you rise above whatever the situation is. And then you feel supported inside because your mental state is different.
I so highly recommend. I think we need to wrap up here. Dr. Carol Kershaw, co-author of The Worry-Free Mind, Train Your Brain, Calm the Stress, Spin the Cycle, and Discover a Happier, More Productive You. It's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. If people want to learn more about you, and now you have some of your workshops online, what is your website? How can people find you?
So the website is Drs. Carol and Bill, and that's without punctuation, D-R-A, at D-R-S, CarolandBill.com. And we are putting some of our workshops online, and hopefully we'll begin to do more of them in person as well. But at least they're going to be online, and we invite people to come to our website if they're interested.
Very good. Thank you so much for taking the time to share some of your insight and advice with us and to help us worry less and enjoy our life more.
Absolutely. We need that now more than ever.
That we do. Yes, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Doc. And we've got more happy hour to come, so please stick with us. Segment 3 is on the way, and we've got a little bit of a treat for you, courtesy of Jonna coming up with an idea. That's on the way. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci, and myself, and we'll be right back. So stick with us here on 92.9 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And we are back on Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
Oh, man, this over-the-phone thing just sucks, doesn't it? You guys just
get it right.
You can't get on page with this on the phone now, can you?
All right.
Anyway, we're back, and we've got a special guest with us. We've got another guest here this morning. Isn't that correct there, Jonna?
We do. So, okay, you guys, you know how we have all been on lockdown for, I don't know, it's been like 7 weeks or 7 years at this point. And none of us have seen each other in studio, and we've got, you know, the world feels a little bit heavy right now. And I thought it would be fun to mix things up a little bit so that we make sure that those who are listening to us get a good laugh. And I got luckier than I thought because I reached out on Facebook for, you know, some comedians that would be willing to come on and do a whole bit, do a whole act into a phone without an audience so that our listeners could feel like they're in a comedy club. And I got very lucky because Larry DiGregorio is not only a local stand-up comedian, but he is also a former police officer living in Orange County. He was a police officer for 22 years. Let me tell you a little bit more about Larry. Larry took the title of funniest first responder in the Hudson Valley and has been taking the comedy scene by storm with appearances at the Parks Casino, Turning Stone Casino, the Funny Bone Comedy Club, Resorts World Casino, as well as clubs and colleges from New York to South Carolina. His larger-than-life comedy is always a crowd favorite, and he knows that. He knows better than anyone, it ain't easy. Ain't that for sure. Larry DiGregorio, thank you for agreeing to be our test case on our Sunday morning comedy circuit. Welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be here. I'm happy to do this.
Comedians never get up this early, so you know what? You probably haven't been to bed. That's my guess.
Well, that's it, especially now. Everything, there is no day or night anymore, nor days for that matter. It all is one.
True. Welcome to the stage, Larry DiGregorio! Woo!
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? I hope all is good today. You know, it is an early one. I got to tell you, I was up before the birds, and that's scary when that happens. you know, it ain't easy. Like my bio says, it's really not. Life is crazy. Bio said, I did 22 years as a police officer. Now I'm a comedian. It's crazy. Now I make people laugh before I used to make them cry. So it's a whole different world for me. And I don't know if you could tell from my voice, I'm a big man. Well, I'm fat. Let's just cut to the chase. It's not even a big man. It is what it is. You know, you can't, you got to call it like it is. And this is crazy, though, times right now with this whole sheltering in place and keeping safe. It's crazy. It's crazy. And then when they called me and then asked me to do this, they said, you got to be clean. So I made sure I showered before I came in this morning just so we keep it on the real. So it's good. But, you know, I don't even know what's going on with the world. Like I say, you know, I'm going to say it a lot. It is crazy and it ain't easy with everything, even some of the simple as grocery shopping. I went to the grocery store the other day. I walk in, there's a start line, there's dots on the floor, there's boxes with X's in it. I got confused. I didn't know if I was shopping or playing hopscotch. I didn't know what was going on at that point. I was confused. I mean, it's like crazy. I went to the deli counter, and there's two long ropes. I said, oh, crap, now I got a double dutch to get my lunch meat. This isn't going to work. This is not going to work. Playground 101, I'm not up for this. I just want to get my stuff and get out of here. And the whole world, everybody, if you look, there's masks and gloves, rubber gloves and masks everywhere you turn. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I don't know whether I'm going to get robbed or I'm going to have a rectal exam. I'm not really sure. But it's a mad world out there. It really is. In the grocery stores, they have arrows pointing down the aisles of which way you're supposed to go. Sometimes I mess up, so I just back down the aisle to the peanut butter section I want to go to. And then I thought, what's going to happen if I get caught? Are the grocery police going to come grab me? What are they going to do? Take my cart away and give me one of those little red baskets instead as a penalty? What are they going to do? How are they going to deal with this? I don't know. They tell you what they want, but they don't tell you how they're going to fix it. So it's crazy. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm scared. We're all stuck home. I'm home constantly. My wife's home with me. Yeah, she's been home out of work, too. It's, you know, 37 days, 14 hours, 6 minutes. Well, who's counting, you know? I mean, it seems like just yesterday. It's going so fast, yeah. And I'm bored out of my skull. I was thinking, what can I do? There's just so much HGTV, so many projects I could watch and not do. And I didn't, and so many recipes I could watch on Food Network, which I love because I do love to eat. Oh, my goodness. But so I thought maybe I'll make a movie, you know? I'm thinking I got cameras, I got audio, and I was kind of confused. I didn't know if I wanted to do a porn or a horror. And then I thought about it, and if I say I make a porn, it will be a horror film. There's no two ways about it. It's just, it'll be ugly. There's no, it is what, no one wants to see a naked fat man. Not even me. I cover the mirrors in my house. I don't even like to look at myself. I give my wife credit. She deserves like a silver star or something. I don't know. But I said to her, you know, we should try something. We should put some, you know, videos out there for a reality show or something. And she said, I would be interested. I said, what do you want to do? She said, Naked and Afraid. I said, really? Why that? And she said, come on, 21 days, no laundry? I'm in. I said, no, it ain't worth it. It's really not. It's not. And then I thought, and I said, if I don't stay away from the fridge, I'm going to be cast next on my 600-pound wife. I'm not kidding. They're going to have to take the front window out just to get me out of the house. But, it's crazy, though. Before this whole shelter-in-place quarantine thing, the last year and a half prior, I'd lost 90 pounds, which was quite a task, yeah. I actually went from a 52 to a 42 neck. Yeah, and it's tough. It's tough. I had a trainer, you know, and it was tough. She said, today we're going to do 40 squats. I said, listen, sweetheart, I squat on my way to sit down, and then I stay there a while. We're going to be here till Thursday. Not for nothing. This is going to take some time. It's not going to go quick. She said, well, then we'll go for a run. I said, I don't even run when I'm chased. So that's not going to pan out for you either. I'm sorry. And there's certain things. I have a female trainer and a male trainer. Certain things, like, I never want to hear him say that she could say any time. Like, I was doing squats, for instance. And she said, oh, my God, I can't believe how deep you go. And I said, that's great. That's cool. And then when Frank said it, I told him, I almost threw up. Please don't ever say that, too. That's a problem for me. And I can't. Yeah. And then there's this big heavy rack you pick up and you walk across the room with like 8 billion pounds on it. And she said to me, oh man, you have trouble getting it up. But once you do, you really go like hell. And I'm like, yeah, say it again. You know, I'm getting a little older. And she's half my age and a third my weight. So that's kind of like, I'll hear that anytime, day or night. Yeah, but I try. Yeah. And then when I was really big, my kids were younger. And it wasn't an issue until the dreaded, I call it the field trip story. My son's teacher said, Mr. D, would you come on a field trip for class? I figure a field trip. We've all been on them. You identify leaves. You look at flowers. You eat lunch. You get on a bus. You come home. We get there, and she says, we're going to start with a hike. I said, hike? Are you kidding me? And she hooks me up with this cat. He's looking like Daniel Boone. He's got the coonskin cat, leather pants, walking stick with feathers. He comes over. He's like, so, do you hike? I said, hey, Captain Obvious, look at me. Do I hike? Put him on topping on a frozen yogurt's a hiker. Are you kidding at this point? When I go to the buffet, I sit close to the food I like so I don't have to walk far. No, I don't hike. And we're about a half hour into these. These are goat trails. A person shouldn't even be on them. They're made for, like, animals. I don't even know. And he drives back to where I am, and he's like, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm okay. And he says, why are you breathing so heavy? I said, so I could live? What, are you kidding me? Duct tape one of the kids to your back, champion, and tell me how easy it is to hike. It ain't easy. It's really not. But it was cool because one of the kids comes up to me and he says, Mr. D, you've got muscular legs. What's that from? I said, necessity, kid. You ever see an elephant on toothpicks? They got to be big. Are you kidding? No, it just won't work any other way. And my wife, she's been with me for 27 years. 27 years of wedded bliss. Yeah, if I killed her, I'd have been out 4 years ago with good behavior, guaranteed, no doubt in my mind. But we took our vows. They said for better or worse, thick or thin. I've been on thick for a while, so she's dealing with it. But they never said anything about shelter in place. And I think moving forward, that should be written into the vows. It should be better or worse, sickness, health, or shelter in place, because this is evil. It is. And after 27 years, so much changes. It really does. I mean, getting lucky in my house, that's finding an unopened pack of Oreos in the closet. I'm not even kidding. It's insanity around here. Yeah. You know, I overheard my wife, she was talking with her girlfriend the other day. Her girlfriend says, do you ever wake up hungry? I says, hell no, I let him sleep as late as he wants. It's just not fair, you know. And I try to stay busy. I try to do what I can around the house, you know. And it's I'm a people watcher, so I open my big blinds in the front of my house. I got bay windows. I watch the neighbors, and it was great because the other day, one of my neighbors hired someone to cut down a tree, a big tree, and it started to look like it was going to be okay. They had a lot of equipment, and then I saw all the trucks said plumbing and heating, and I figured this is going to be a horror story. So I set up the GoPro just to watch, waiting for something fun to happen. One guy got out with a chainsaw. The other guy got out with a pipe wrench. I said, this isn't going to go well at all. And I never knew that you could cut a tree limb with a torch. I learned something. See, you learn something every day. But you don't hire plumbers to take a tree down. I learned that lesson, too. They dug a hole so deep around the stump, I thought they were putting a moat. I was waiting for alligators to go in it next. It was craziness. Never seen nothing like it. But they did get the tree down. It was like 3 days' work. I know they lost money, but not my problem. But, you know, like we talked earlier, night blends with day, and day with night, it's insanity. The other day, I really messed up, and I wore my day pajamas to sleep. Yeah. You talk about confusion. I woke up the next morning, I had day pajamas on. I'm like, did I nap? Is it tomorrow? I didn't know what was going on. And then I said, well, do I put on night pajamas and wear them during the day, or just put on fresh day pajamas? And I did like any good man would do. I just wore yesterday's day pajamas all over again. It doesn't matter. There was only a few stains. They didn't smell that bad. It was all good. My wife, she would have to look at me to know what I'm wearing, so it didn't matter to her. So, you know. Yeah, it is. It's just craziness. But, you know, I was a police officer. I did 22 years. I last four detective, which was kind of cool. It was crazy, and I got to tell you the truth. I know you may find it hard to believe, especially if you look at my face online and my body. I was a fat cop. I was. It was. Yeah. I was the poster child for Run from the Police. I was. If there was ever a poster of Run from the Police, I was the guy on the poster. And they were like, yeah, we're getting away. We are getting away. There's no doubt about it. Put on your felony flyers and run like the wind, bullseye, because this fat guy's not going to catch you. But I was big. I was big. I ordered a new leather jacket at work. 2 days later, beef prices went down. Yeah, I mean, I was a big man. My gun belt, most cops, they have their gun, their handgun, their extra magazines of bullets, handcuffs. I had a ton of room. I had a grappling hook, an igloo cooler, a Jeep Liberty. I had a lot of room on my gun belt. Yeah, it was crazy. When it came time for a new bulletproof vest, a guy came in to measure us. He said, I'm sorry, sir, I have to come back tomorrow for you. I said, why? He said, I need help. I said, come on, dude. And then when the vest finally came in, they came out with a general order that if we went to a shootout, I had to take it off, and three other guys used it like a bunker. Yeah, I'm a big man. It is what it is. One time I was working, when I was still on patrol, I stopped a guy. He had expired registration. It was like months expired. So I'm like, dude, your registration's expired for like 3 months. And he says, no, I have the new one home on the fridge. I said, well, it's a shame you're not driving the fridge. You know, I don't believe you. And it's tough sometimes, you know. It really is. It's crazy. So I'm going to probably wind down here with a couple of things I learned throughout my time being home on shelter in place. And there's quite a few, because a lot of time on your hands. And there's just so much Facebook, social media, and what have you could do. I do my shelter in place fun facts with Larry every day. I try to put something out there that's fun. But I learned that if you have a no-touch thermometer and you point it at your bare stomach and then move it to your belly button, there's a 3-degree temperature change, which is kind of cool. Yeah. And, well, that's with normal people. With me, it's like 16 degrees, because the center of mine's like the core of the earth. It goes so deep. I'm not kidding. The other night, I got out of the shower. I bent over. Something fell out. I didn't know whether it was a lint ball or a washcloth. I don't know. My wife came in. She said, what the hell is that? I said, the cat must have done it. I don't know, sweetheart. It ain't mine. I don't know. But yeah, so another fun thing I learned, if you eat a whole bag of honey barbecue potato chips, you will poop cheese doodles. I don't know how it happens. It's insanity. But it's craziness. It's craziness. They're floating cheese doodles. It was insane. And something else, too. If you eat a package that has a serving size on it, during a pandemic, you can have two times that. That's a fact. I read it. CNN said it was true, so you know it is. Yeah, go figure. Yeah, and if your wife starts any sentence or statement with, you know what I was thinking, or, you know, while you're home, run like the wind. Hide. Take sick if you must, because no good will come from this. There's just so many times I'm going to repaint the bedroom. I'm not doing it anymore. And, yeah, it's just crazy. And the last thing I thought of that's really cool, and this could help people, that if you have any pizza for one in the freezer, they make perfect bread for a sandwich, two of them. It's perfect, trust me. It'll make a perfect sandwich. It's a round sandwich, almost like a panini on steroids. It's good. So I had fun here with you guys today. This was kind of crazy. I've never, like That's you say, I've awesome. Never done anything like this. I dressed for the occasion, though, and it's insanity. There's no faces to go with the laughter, and that's cool, but I hear some laughter, so I'll take it.
Yeah, and you got us laughing. And just for the people who are tuning in, you've been listening to stand-up comedian, former police officer from Orange County, and winner of the funniest first responder in the Hudson Valley, Larry DiGregorio, who you can find on Facebook, right, Larry? You're accepting new friend requests if anybody is so inclined.
I am. Facebook and Instagram. I'm trying to build up the Instagram awesome. Following, so I'm not proud.
No, that's fine. That's important, too. And is it just at Larry DiGregorio on Instagram, or do you
have my Facebook's just my name, Larry. Yep, Larry DiGregorio is just my name, and Facebook is, it's all about me. That's it. It's a comedy page.
Awesome. As it should be. All about Larry. Larry, thank you so much for joining us and being our test case, our guinea pig. We appreciate it. You're hilarious. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yes, thank you very much, Larry. That was great, man. I appreciate it as well.
My pleasure.
All right, you've been listening to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. Larry DiGregorio there. Thank him again in your hearts. Give him some applause from home, even though he can't hear it. And we will surely do the comic thing again. But ladies and everybody else, thanks for joining us this morning. And we'll be back again next Sunday, as we always are, 8 o'clock, right here on 92.9 WBPM.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.